The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you into fantasy sports like we are? It's time to get the inside scoop on the sport and how it affects your team. This is Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. It's a hard look at the transactions, the injuries, free agents, and starters. And the best part is, you get to ask the experts so you can win. Now, here's Dish Adams.
Oh, yeah. It is that time again. Fantasy Insights Radio. We are counting up to game time. Just a few hours away. A few surprises. And really the big surprise was Hakeem Nicks. Why is Hakeem Nicks not playing? Did he have a setback? They say no. Let's get into it, because information, that is what you want. I'm trying to multitask, and you know how I can't do that. I can't get into my Yahoo Messenger, so I can't communicate with Matt. Matt, I'm trying the password recovery thing, so it might take me a while. So just text me when we need to go to break, because you know I always forget. But like I said, game night, no Hakeem Nicks, apparently no setback. No Amon Bradshaw tonight. Does that mean that we might see a little bit of David Wilson? I'm thinking 8 to 12 touches. And seriously, I think 8 to 12 touches with this guy is enough. If he can get the ball and get any carries in rhythm, he's going to break one or two or three. And who knows who Andre Brown is. Apparently, my inside sources say Andre Brown's big problem, he was a drunk. And he's still a drunk. He's not a real hard worker, but he sure looked good. And don't be fooled by his touchdown last week. Tampa let him in. All right. We have an exciting show today. It's an exciting show every week. You know that. But this week we have Bob Lung of the Roto Experts. He'll be here. Dr. Consistency, as we call him. He will talk about the consistent players that we know and love. Michael Rathburn of the Daily Joust. He's been a guest here before. He's going to be a guest again. There's something I'm supposed to do to sign up so that you guys can go and sign in under our code, and I'm going to talk to him about that when he's here on the Daily Joust. That's where you can win real cash. Jonathan Stewart, will he play tonight? No, he won't be a guest on the show, although we should start getting some NFLers on the show. I think it's a good idea. Miami's defense, I like that. I'm going to play them this week against the Jets. Thoughts, concerns? Think I'm brilliant? What? MIA, not for Miami, but for missing in action. Chris Johnson, where art thou? Larry Fitzgerald, Wes Welker, Marcus Colston, where you guys at? All right, the injury bug is hitting everybody, and apparently Greg Jennings had a setback in practice. That is bad news not only for him, but also for Aaron Rodgers and for Jordy Nelson, most of all, who has proven he needs somebody on the other side of the field so he can have his one-on-one matchups. He's not a number one like we had hoped that he was. Dan Rose might join the show today. I won't know if he gets on unless Matt texts me, because Dan, if you come on the show, just start talking right away. You have carte blanche. You're the only guy who's allowed to just come here and take over. I take a back seat to Dan Rose. Mike Neese will be here with the Fantasy Stock Exchange in the fourth segment. The Tasman cometh, the Tasman taketh away. I don't know if Taz is coming today. Tweeted in this morning, haven't heard from him all day, so he might not be here, but you can always hear Taz and I, 4 o'clock West Coast time, 7 o'clock East Coast time, on the Fantasy Football Power Hour on Blog Talk Radio. And then Sunday mornings, don't forget, we launched this Sunday, Final Decisions, your final lineup decisions. That was on Blog Talk Radio Sunday morning. A lot of good advice. That is from 12:30 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Dustin Keller practiced. Daryl Revis practiced. Did I just call him Daryl? Darrell Revis practiced. Antonio Gates and Ryan Matthews both practiced. We'll take some looks at some waiver wire names. Rob Hausler, could it be? We have a sighting. He's finally going to get some time this week. Brandon Myers has emerged. Brent Celek has emerged. Dennis Pitta leapfrogged Ed Dixon in the depth chart. No Polamalu and no Harrison for the Steelers. And hey, I saw the royal boobies. Fantasy Insights Radio back for another Thursday of Sports, Steak, and the Sexes. Follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Insights. I am Dish Adams. You can always follow me on Facebook at Dish Adams. Join our free email list on fantasyinsights.com. You get all the player updates nightly and game day flash reports to let you know the actives, the inactives, and everything else that's going on. And you should get the weekly report. 100 pages or so of goodness taking you to your league championship. It's great info. It's great info. And we're going to play the interrogation game today where I interrogate the experts. That's what we basically did on Final Decisions on Sunday morning. Now, I was in Lake Geneva. In fact, this morning, I just flew in. I arrived about 5 minutes ago. Lake Geneva, not Switzerland, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. So you fly into Chicago, you take that little drive out to Geneva. But normally, I do my routine. You guys might remember this from last year. I pull right out of O'Hare. I pop into Giordano's, grab my deep dish pizza, grab my Italian beef, head up on the road to Geneva. I keep half the pizza for the dinner. But, you know, I flew in late, and I went out the airport a different way. I didn't stop at Giordano's, and I got up there because there's a Geno's East up in Lake Geneva. Oh, Geno's East. They have the deep dish, the deep dish. Yeah, no deliveries, and they were closed by the time I got there. So I had a steak. At the hotel, they had a chop house, ordered a steak for myself. It's pretty good. You know, I love talking steak. But the Geneva, this Lake Geneva Resort, the Grand Geneva, is really amazing. It's a world-class golf course, too. Playing there for the Variety Club Children's Charities in their tournament. But you know what's amazing about this place is it's about an hour and 5 hours and 10 minutes from O'Hare, so maybe an hour and a half from Chicago. And it was basically set up by Hef. He bought it, developed it, and set it up for the Playmates. So it was sort of like a retreat for the wealthy Chicago guys that would go there, and there'd be all the Playmates. And a lot of Playmates lived there. And so you could still see there's all these crazy sculptures, and there's the barracks where the Playmates used to live. And I'm just thinking, what a genius Hef was. How great it was to be a guy before the Internet, before anybody could tell on you what you were doing. You could just go out to the Playboy Club if you were a Chicago guy. Yeah, where are you going, honey? Oh, I'm just going golfing. Where are you going golfing? Wisconsin. I see, and women, they hear Wisconsin, they don't get nervous anymore. Because if you've ever seen the women in Wisconsin, they are sick. And I'm not talking sick like ba-dunk-a-dunk in the trunk. I'm just talking thick. They from neck to toes, they're just thick women. The Wisconsin women are just big, healthy, Midwestern women. So you tell your wife, yeah, I'm going out golfing. And you get up to Grand Geneva, and there's Playmates. Now, this is in the 1950s, not now. Now you get there, all the women are sick. So my wife, needless to say, was not nervous at all. But her theory on all that is if I'm stupid enough to try to step out on her, she'll just leave me for a rich dude who's better looking, has more money, and is much cooler than me. So she really holds all the cards. Hey, Princess Kate, the Duchess of Cambridge, we all got to see the royal boobies. I was excited by that. They really are pretty nice. I would say that they are fitting of a prince. Now, you know, they're not talking about the royal derriere. There's a pretty good butt shot there, too, where her bathing suit's hiking up her butt. She's got a pretty nice little tushy. But like I said, everybody is in an uproar over this. Egotastic, by the way. You guys know my favorite site, egotastic.com. Just go to egotastic.com. You can see the royal boobs. But I got to say, everybody's in an uproar. The French judge says they're grotesque. They're not grotesque. They're hot. But if you don't want anybody to see your boobs, then here's the thought. Don't take off your top and sunbathe on a balcony outdoors. I mean, it seems easy enough to me to understand it. You go out on a balcony, you are the most sought-after upskirt or nudie shot on the planet. Nobody is more sought after by paparazzi to get a compromising photo than the Duchess, Miss Middleton, or Mrs. What is their last name? I don't remember. I don't even know Queen Elizabeth's last name. But Prince Harry's lovely wife, Kate Middleton, the Duchess of Cambridge, you would think she would know not to do it if she doesn't want to get the shots taken. So here's my theory. My theory is she did it on purpose. Yep. You know why? Sibling rivalry. See, Pippa's getting all the headlines. And Kate's like, what the heck do I got to do? I'm the Duchess. I married a prince. And all we're talking about is Pippa's ass at my wedding. And now Pippa's in the U.S. And she's going around. She's hanging out with Sean Avery and all these other millionaires in a tennis tournament looking all hot. What do I have to do to get the attention back from Pippa? And the prince just looked over and said, well, I got no idea. Why don't we just go lay out and have you show your bum and your boobs? All boobs and bum. So she went out on the balcony. She got snapped by some photographer. And now the royal boobs are all over the internet. And the French judge is going crazy. Now, I love the things the French are outraged by. First of all, you go to any beach in France, every girl is boobs out. Okay? They don't wear a top. I always wanted to go on vacations with, like, my wife and, like, her hot friends that I always wanted to see their boobs in France because I figured then they would not wear their bikini tops in France. But what happens is the American girls just wear them anyway. It's really terrible. So you end up going on a vacation with somebody you don't care about talking to. But, yeah, I mean, it seems to me it's easy enough to understand. You just don't lay out topless if you don't want to be seen topless. I mean, I don't want anybody to see my schwanz, so I don't lay out naked on a patio. You know, tan lines are okay. All right, we really should get back to football instead of boobs, although I know one of the things that we always talk about are the sexes is fine. In segment two, Michael Rathburn will be here from the Daily Joust. We will talk to him about his best calls, his biggest disappointments, things of that nature. He'll tell us more about the Daily Joust, and we'll talk some salary cap strategy. Bob Lawton will be here. And truthfully, guys, I don't know when I told which one of them to call. I might have told them both to call at the same time. So we might have to do a little juggling. Maybe we'll have them both on at the same time for a little bit. And hopefully at the end we can do that with the interrogation game. Northwoods Cheese. Northwoodscheese.com. Have you visited our sponsor yet? Fantasy Insights premium sponsor. We need you to go there. We need you to go to their site. We need you to order something. The holidays are coming up. Okay, the holidays are coming up. What holiday? Halloween? I don't know. There's got to be something else coming up, isn't there? Thanksgiving's too far away. Order something for someone. Send cheeses and sausage. You know, they have all the sausage and cheeses you need. All right, when we do come back from the break, we are going to talk to Michael Rathburn. We're going to talk to Bob Lund. We're going to talk about your fantasy team, people coming back off the injury, people who are injured, some of the situations, guys who are disappointed and we need them to come around, and some of the guys that are overperforming and maybe you should be cutting bait and trading them for value while you can. I am no Michael Turner. What about Michael? He, you know, all the jokes where he had, he blew a higher rate on the, you know, on the breathalyzer than he had more points on the breathalyzer than he did fantasy points. I kind of like that. Hey, Matt, I think I'm safe to break. I'm looking at 215, even though I didn't get a fax or a text from you. So I'm going to do it right now. We're going to say Fantasy Insights Radio on a Thursday, 45 minutes of pure football coming right after this, coming to Game Time. Matt's Physical Silence. We're going to take you right after the break.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
What's the national pastime in the U.S. in the 21st century?
Are you sure? Think again.
3 out of 4 Americans have made NFL football the true American pastime. It's now one of the fastest growing sports in the world. But how do we as fans understand everything that goes on behind the scenes? Tune in to Enter the League with Eugene T. Lee Esquire as your host. Eugene was the featured NFL agent in the ESPN acclaimed documentary The Dotted Line. And now he takes his expertise to the Voice America Sports Channel. Listen every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network, and let's talk football.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports. It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
All right, we are counting up to game time, and we are going to be joined now by Michael Rathburn of the Daily Joust. Rath, how you doing, bud?
Hey, doing well, Dish. Good to be back.
Yeah, it is nice to have you here. And right now, actually, I am joining the Daily Joust. And I actually have a question here. Did a Daily Joust user refer you? Yes. What's your username? Do I have a promo code?
No. You don't need one. But the good thing is that all the listeners of this podcast, if they go to dailyjoust.com and they sign up, they can use your name as the referral code. They'll get a 40% bonus on any deposit, $25 and up, which is Fantasy Insights.
All right, guys. So everybody who's listening to this show, you go to thedailyjoust.com, and when they ask for your referral code, you just say Fantasy Insights. You got it, guys? All right. Now, Rath, we had you on earlier this year. And you were not big on Chris Johnson. I have to give you credit. But then again, I'm going to say to everybody, let's exercise caution, because my favorite memory of fantasy is we all remember a guy by the name of Priest Holmes. Now, Priest Holmes had a dreadful first two games of the season. He was terrible. And then he became the best running back in football for fantasy purposes for 4 years. So is Chris Johnson dead to fantasy owners, or is it something he can turn around? What are your thoughts on that?
The reason why I didn't like Chris Johnson coming into the season is now compounded, because I actually thought Tennessee was going to be okay on offense, and it's looking like they're dreadful. They're also dreadful on defense. I thought they'd be middle of the road. Their defense is looking like a bottom five defense right now. Their offensive line is looking like one of the worst in football. They've got a second-year quarterback that doesn't know where he's going. I think this team is in trouble, and it's going to take some time for them to turn it around. That being said, I think if you can move Johnson now before the damage is done, I just don't see any way that Johnson's going to be able to turn this around, because there's too many factors going against him.
See, I think the biggest problem Chris Johnson is having right now is his quarterback. I think that Locker is really hurting the Titans offense. And the reason why I say that it's hurting Johnson is because the guy just does not check down. He throws deep every play, even fourth and one. I mean, he just never looks to get the easy yards. And I think that's the big
problem. Let me say this, okay? Sure. I'm definitely not going to dismay the thing about Locker. I agree. But I don't necessarily think that that's the reason for Johnson. This team has been down 17-0 early in games. If you're down 17-0, the run game disappears. You're just throwing the ball. So I think that, unfortunately, Tennessee is going to be behind in a lot of games, and Johnson's not going to get the opportunity.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And that really has been frustrating. But that's where you think, you know, Johnson used to be a great PPR player. In fact, you know, I actually am trying to trade for him in some leagues. I still believe that law of averages and what he did in the last six games the last year, that he's going to be okay. I know we differ on that, but let's move on to a few other players that we can talk about. I wanted to just, since we talked to you last, you know, I think that we've seen quite a bit obviously happen. You know, who would you say right now were your best calls? Like preseason, what were the calls you made that you ended up being very right on? Who do you think were your best calls?
Well, guys that I owned and actually mentioned on your show a little bit, I was very high on Stephen Ridley, and so far we've seen he's been a huge part of that offense, and he's looked very well. He runs good, and it looks like he's going to be able to get over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns so far. So I think Ridley is looking good. I still believed in Reggie Bush. I know everybody was off Reggie Bush. They felt that he had a monster season last year, and there's no way he could live up to it. And my contention was that somebody on that team needs the ball and is going to get the ball, and they had no real wide receivers there, although Hartline's starting to emerge as Tannehill's favorite. So I think that Reggie Bush is still somebody that has some value, especially in PPR leagues, of course. And, you know, he made a couple of really nice plays last week. Now, I know it was Oakland's defense is not good. It's a bottom five defense. But you still got to give the guy credit. He had a real nice screen pass he scored a touchdown on, and he also had that 22-yard run where he broke a lot of tackles. So he's playing with enthusiasm, authority. He's now basically a leader on this team. So I still think Reggie Bush has a lot of value, and I still think you can trade for him and get something and get value out of that trade. I was very high on RG3 coming into the season. Obviously, we've seen him have two monster games here the first 2 weeks, and I was really high on Brandon LaFell, who's starting to look like a legitimate number one wide receiver. If you look at him, his first two games, this guy has the skills. And the thing I love about LaFell is he's got a wide receiver on the other side of Steve Smith that's drawing the coverage. So LaFell's really getting a lot of one-on-one matchups, and he's a big guy. And I was really high on Cam. I just thought there was a lot of weapons on that team, and I know Stewart's been banged up a little bit, but I still think that Carolina is primed to make a strong run, and I do think they're going to win the game tonight.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. See, I think that without Hakeem Nicks and without Bradshaw, it increases their chances. But I think the Giants, really, they have that experience, and it's going to be tough to see if they go down to 1-2. All right, we talked about the guys that you thought were your best calls. Who are the guys that you're the most disappointed in, that you thought were going to be great up front and that you're disappointed in their performance so far?
I thought Donald Brown. You know, Donald Brown looked good in the preseason. I thought there would be an opportunity for him to get a lot of the carries in Indianapolis. And what I've seen on tape the first 2 weeks, I really don't like. He looks very slow. He almost looks Ben Jarvis Green Ellis-like. And he just can't break any runs off. And I'm wondering how soon it's going to be before they pull the trigger and go to Vic Ballard. So I'd hedge my, if I owned Donald Brown, I'd probably hedge a little bit and go get Ballard. I'm not saying to trade Brown, because I don't think you can really get that much for him. But I think I would go ahead and try to go get Ballard, especially if you're in a deeper league. I also think that Luck is going to throw a lot more. I think moving forward, I think you've got some really nice weapons on that team. Reggie Wayne, Donnie Avery's emerging. If Austin Colley can come back healthy, I like T.Y. Hilton as a guy that can do some slants and some reverses. And I love the tight ends, Fleener and Allen. So I think Luck has a lot to work with there. And Titus Young, I still think he can emerge, but he has really gotten off to a slow start. And LaMichael James hasn't been used at all. I was high on him, and Frank Gore has looked very good. So I got to give it up to Frank Gore, and I still think James is going to get on the field, but it looks like it's going to take some time.
Yeah, now Gore has been the guy that's most impressive to me. I'm really intrigued to see how he sustains. And actually, Kendall Hunter still getting all the backup work there. All right, so yeah, and Donald Brown, you know, I was really never that high on him, but he's been even worse than I thought. So let me know, who's somebody that everybody right now is down on, but you're buying on that guy? You think they're going to really turn it around?
I think the number one guy to buy low on right now is Torrey Smith. He's only gotten 9 targets in the first 2 games. He's still, to me, when you look at him and the way he plays, he is a wide receiver one. And we heard a lot in the preseason about how the Ravens were going to come out with this spread offense. And, you know, they lit up Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's defense is struggling right now. They've got a lot of injuries. But they did not look good last week. I know Philly's got a good D and they got some good corners, but they did not really go to Torrey Smith at all. So I'm actually thinking this is the week against the New England defense. I think that they're going to be able to exploit some of those secondary issues, and I think Torrey Smith is going to have a big game this week. So buy him now before he blows up this Sunday. Ryan Williams is another guy I think you can go get cheap. He had that bad fumble last week that almost cost him the game. Maybe the coaching staff isn't as confident in him, but I still like the ability and I like the opportunity because Beanie Wells can't stay healthy.
See, I'm really intrigued by what you just said about Ryan Williams because I've got him on one team where I took him as a hedge. And I don't know, the knee looks like it's just not strong enough yet, but you think he's going to build strength as the year goes on and he's going to end up taking that job, huh?
Well, here's my theory, and I actually wrote a piece about running backs that had injuries last year that have come back and played, and if you look at Peterson, and then you also look at Kansas City's running back, I'm sorry, Jamaal Charles, for some reason I drew a blank. If you look at what Peterson and Jamaal Charles did last week, they just did not look right. And I'm wondering if they came in fresh week one and looked great, but then a week's worth of pounding and then practice and then coming back week two, both those guys did not look right. So, yep. You know, I am wondering if the same thing happened with Williams a little bit. I still feel like Williams, because of where you got him and what you're going to have to pay to get him, I still think there's some upside there and there's some value.
All right, now, as far as guys that everybody's high on and thinks is doing great, and who are those guys that you have that you're selling, that you're just thinking
about? Number one guy I'm selling right now is Dwayne Bowe. And here's the thing. Don't sell him until Monday because I think he's actually going to have a huge game this week going up against New Orleans defense, and we know New Orleans defense is just not that good right now. But I don't have confidence in the quarterback play at all. I don't like what I'm seeing out of Matt Castle on tape so far. He just looked horrendous last week. There's not a lot of options there on offense. And I think teams eventually are going to just say, you know what, we're going to double cover Bowe, we're going to take him away, and we're going to force Matt Castle to beat us with secondary receivers. Jonathan Baldwin, Steve Breston, Tony Maiocchi are names that don't scare anybody. So I think take advantage of Bowe. He got some garbage touchdowns in garbage time last week. Sell high on Bowe. I think Danny Amendola is another guy you can sell high on. Yeah, he's a PPR machine, but he also is a guy that can't stay healthy. And I don't really like that Rams offense. And I think also, you know, Alfred Morris, while he has looked good the first 2 weeks, it is Washington, it is Mike Shanahan, and you just don't know if he's going to play musical running backs. I actually saw Morris play when I lived in South Florida at Florida Atlantic. I am shocked that he was even drafted by an NFL team. I never saw an NFL running back when I saw him play. So I'm really surprised that he's drafted and having success. So I think those are the three guys you want to move.
Very interesting. Hey, Matt, I still don't have my messenger up, so you got to text me if we're coming to a break. I'm trying to install it. I should have it for the next break. Let's go. Who's your play of the week? Who's the guy that this week you're thinking is a no-brainer play that people might not be thinking of?
New Orleans is 0-2. They're coming back home. If you watched the game last week in depth, they really should have won that game. There was a couple of plays in that game where if it had gone either way, he threw a pick six on the 5-yard line. Carolina ran it back. Also, New Orleans was going in and driving, and they had three drops inside the end zone on one drive. A lot could have changed in that game, so I think New Orleans, a lot of people are down on them right now. Take advantage of it. If you can trade for Breeze, I would do it. I think 400 yards, at least 4 touchdowns. I think Breeze lights up Kansas City, and that's the guy I'm locked in on.
All right, great. We have a caller on the line, Steve. Steve, hang on. We're going to get to you next segment. And real quick, as we're going out for the break right now because we're over, who's your bust of the week? And then we'll close with that.
I'm not going anywhere near Michael Vick. On the road at Arizona, I think Michael Vick may not even make it out of this game. He might get hurt. I see a lot of turnovers in that game. Don't go anywhere near the Broncos this week. Sleepers, Pierre Thomas, Lance Moore, Garcon. Those are the three guys I'm looking at.
All right, well, we'll hope Garcon plays. Michael Rathburn, Rath from DailyJoust.com. Everybody go to DailyJoust.com, and when you join, sign up with Fantasy Insights as your coupon code. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. I'll look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right, we'll be back after this.
Quick to the funk that no one else is bringing. Send dog with the fucking violin. Yeah, that's the nombre. Heard that homemade bass.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports. It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
You know, there was a time when Dan Rose left Fantasy Insights, our editor-in-chief, and I had to get him back. And you know what I did? I had to get creative. So I went to shopcreativegifts.com. I spoke to Joyce at shopcreativegifts.com, got him a very creative gift. Joyce picked it out, and now Dan Rose is back. Although he's not coming on today, all he does is send his apologies. It's okay, Dan. I still love you, even though you hate me. All right, we are going to open up segment number two, or number, is this segment number three? This is segment number three. I see, guys, I'm still traveling. I've been traveling since 4 a.m. my time. Steve Waltrick, I believe you are on the line. How are you doing, man?
Good, how are you guys?
Good. I understand you have a lineup question, so let's get right to it.
More of a trade question.
Okay.
So I have a Forte, and I'm one of the dumb ones that didn't handcuff him with Bush. So, I got offered Bush for Garcon, and I declined that. But what would you guys think of taking Bush and Stevie Johnson for Benson and Garcon?
You would get who in the trade? Stevie Johnson?
I would get Stevie Johnson and Michael Bush.
You get Stevie Johnson and Michael Bush, and you already have Forte?
I have Forte, right.
And who would you be giving up?
Cedric Benson and Pierre Garcon.
Well, Garcon's hurt, and Benson certainly this week is not real playable. Seattle's great defense. I think it's probably a good trade all around because you have Forte. I'm leaning towards doing that, but I'm very high on Stevie Johnson. But you know what? Steve, I'm just a figurehead. Let's bring on an expert. Mr. Consistency from Roto Expert, Bob Long. Bob, you on the line here?
I am. How you doing, guys?
Good, bud. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. Had a great week last week. I went 9-2 in my 11 leagues, so things are going well.
You know, I would say that you are consistently fabulous.
That would be a good word for it, too.
Yeah, and I know that you're consistently employed, gainfully employed, which is good, because we wanted to have you on the Sunday morning show, but you were DJing a bar mitzvah or a wedding or something.
It was a wedding reception, yep. Not too often I get Sunday wedding receptions at noon, but that one I did. So
I love that. I do. What do you think of this trade for Steve? What are you thinking?
I was sitting here. I was so giddy. I wanted to scream through the speakers to, you should have taken it yesterday. Stevie Johnson, you know, is one of my favorites when it comes to consistency. One of the most consistent receivers out there, you know, definitely a top 15 guy. You know, obviously getting Bush to handcuff Forte is what it's all about. like you said, Garcon is hurt. He's certainly not playing very strongly. I mean, he had a great first week, but that was really based on one catch. And yep. So I'm not real high on him. And, Cedric Benson is Cedric Benson. They're not going to use him that much in Green Bay. Maybe a touchdown here, touchdown there. He's basically a figurehead that's going to get some yards to keep people from blitzing Aaron Rodgers all the time. I think that's a great trade if you can pull that off.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. And Steve, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you and I have had a serious Penn State debate in the past, yes?
We have, yeah.
So have you changed your position now at all? Because since the last time we talked, all the stuff about everybody knowing it and not doing anything about it came up. Are you still thinking that, Paterno got a bad rap?
I think he's getting a worse rap than he deserves, although he does deserve to get a bad rap. The bottom line is I think there's a lot of blame to go all the way around. And I think now that, Paterno died, I do think the report kind of made him a little bit of a scapegoat. But the reality is I think that the issues that went on at Penn State are a lot more than just Joe Paterno.
Yeah, it's institutional. I agree with you. It's institutional. You know, my position was shut down the whole university until the investigation's completed. Anyway, Steve, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for being a subscriber to Fantasy Insights, and call us with your lineup questions on Sunday for final decisions, my man.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right. So, Bob Long.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Consistency, let's just get right into it. Who so far has surprised you the most with their consistency this season?
All right, well, I wrote this down by position. I picked one for each position. At quarterback, the guy who's 2 for 2 in quality games, and so far there's only 10 remaining quarterbacks who are 2 for 2. Basically, consistent in both games, exceeded
Griffin.
The quality factor. So there's only 10 left already in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Believe it or not. But the guy that surprised me the most on there at this point is Alex Smith, who's 14
yeah.
total points, but he is 2 for 2. This guy had like 2 all last season. So I really like what I'm seeing there. That team is really just playing very well as a team. Nobody's really blowing out, yes, Frank Gore is playing well, but I expect that from Frank Gore. Maybe a little bit surprised actually by how well he's been playing. But Alex Smith, 2 for 2 in quality games. He's my biggest surprise as one of the 10 left, perfect, QSR guys first 2 weeks. Now at, running back, Stephen Ridley, I expected him to be decent, but he's 2 for 2, surprisingly. But I think the biggest surprise is the law firm. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is 2 for 2. Not a lot of points, but he's just getting by, 17th in total points, but he's 2 for 2 in quality games. And again, that's what it's all about. Being there week after week, providing good consistency. I'm assuming he's playing a running back 2, probably even a flex for some team. So I think he's doing a nice job. I'm surprised by that.
How about a wide receiver?
Wide receiver. Well, if you remember that I have 2 guys who I said that I absolutely despise. They're the 2 most inconsistent wide receivers, and they both have the same last name, and that's Jackson. That's Vincent, of course, and Deshaun. But Deshaun Jackson is 2 for 2 in quality games. Now, is this the I'm going to try this year Deshaun Jackson that's now turning over a new leaf?
I think so.
Let's hope so. Let's hope you took a chance. I don't have him on any of my teams, as you can imagine, but for those of you who took the chance, you might be seeing Mr. Consistency now, Deshaun Jackson, instead of Mr. Inconsistency.
I love it. What about the tight end position? Who are you liking?
Well, 2 guys that are surprising, and one of them I never even heard of, to be honest with you.
I want to guess. Dennis Pitta, is he on your list?
Who?
Dennis Pitta?
Actually, no. Dennis Pitta, actually, last year, at the end of the season last year, put up 4 quality games in the last 6 games. He isn't surprising me. Actually, I had him kind of one of my deep sleepers. The guy who surprised me, and again, really was supposed to be a big star for Dallas, didn't make it. Behind Jason Witten, I think he's in Dallas. Maybe you're right. I think so. But this Martellus Bennett.
Now in New York.
The Giants. And he now all of a sudden, he looked good in both those games. Now with Nick's out, I'm expecting a 3rd quality game this week against Carolina. So that's a guy that kind of, supposed to be a big star, was supposed to be a big guy coming out of college, didn't do much, didn't really pan out for the other teams, and now in the Giants. But the guy I've never heard of, Brandon Myers from Oakland. This guy's 2 for 2. I never even heard of this guy. Who is he?
He's a blocker. He's a blocker like Anthony McCoy in Seattle.
He's got quality games.
Yeah.
So he's a guy I've never heard of. Honestly, I follow enough football to think I know everybody, but no idea who this guy was. I literally had to look him up like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, so, you know the problem I have with him? The only concern I have with Brandon Myers is, well, it's a good thing. He's caught every target thrown to him, but it's only been 11 targets.
Right. Yeah.
But no,
yeah,
he's,
and I mean, at some point, when Hayward Bay and Denarius Moore, who are neither one have been consistent nor healthy, get into the flow again, I think you're going to see Brandon Myers go away. But you said, hey, who's surprising at the first 2 weeks? Myers is surprising. Whether he stays there, probably not.
Who is normally consistent, and you're surprised to see them fluctuating so far this year?
Well, I think the easy one at quarterback right now is Matthew Stafford. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been watching these games. He's overthrowing people. He looks like me in the backyard when I was a kid. I just wing it down there and hope somebody comes. I mean, Calvin Johnson's tall, but he's not that tall. And some of those passes were horrid the other night I was watching. So he's my number one inconsistent, not looking as strong. And especially for a guy who was a first, second round pick. Well, I mean, not first round maybe, but definitely second, third round pick. You know, right up there with the Cam Newtons and right behind the Holy Trilogy. And this guy's not pulling his weight for a second-round quarterback at this point.
Now, who's someone that everybody is down on? And I asked Raph this question, too. Who's somebody that everybody's down on that you're buying, that you think is going to turn it around and start playing consistent ball?
I think Wes Welker is an easy turnaround. Everybody's down on him. What's wrong with him? What's going on? Why is he not getting the targets? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, you know, I've said this before. I know I've said it on your show, and I'm sure I've said it on many shows. Tom Brady plays football for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, not for fantasy football teams.
Yep.
If Welker isn't open, he's going to throw it to Brandon Lloyd or Gronkowski or give the ball to Stephen Ridley. Ridley's running the ball well. It has nothing to do with Wes Welker. So Wes Welker will be fine. He earned a quality game this week. No, he didn't set the world on fire. No, he didn't have a Danny Amendola day, but he definitely was Wes Welker. He was right back in the mix of things. He'll be fine.
Now, speaking of Amendola, he leads me to the next question, is who's somebody who everybody's really high on right now that you're dumping in a trade to get rid of whether value's high?
Well, because I was listening to my buddy Rathburn there, and he actually mentioned him, I won't. But, yeah, there's no question this guy's not going to score 37 points every week. But, you know, he was one of my consistent guys who I said, if you went back to 2010 when he was healthy for a full season, he was 10 of 16 in quality games that year. He was in the top 20, with double-digit quality games. I really liked him. I have him on a lot of teams, actually. Hadn't been starting because he really didn't come out, doing much in the first week. He did earn a quality game, but wasn't much, so I wasn't sure. But, now he's obviously starting over some of my guys. So I won't talk to him, but I am going to talk about the number one and the number two running backs. And I know this is going to... The one guy that I know Rathburn was high on, but I'm still kind of leery on, is Reggie Bush. For him to play a full season, as soon as teams realize he's the only weapon they have and they're going to force them to make Tannehill beat them, then you're going to see Bush kind of get, I think, kind of back down to reality a little bit. So if somebody would make me a great offer right now, I probably would trade Bush in a heartbeat.
Right.
And the other guy is Spiller. I just think at some point Spiller's going to be coming, Fred Jackson's going to be coming back. I think Fred Jackson's going to have to be he's going to have to pick it up just to kind of keep his job. But I think that they're going to be smart in Buffalo, take his time and, share carries. And I think that's just going to hurt his value. So right now he's super high. I offered somebody a trade because I had Fred Jackson in the league. And I offered somebody, I offered him Chris Johnson, I offered him Chris Johnson and Dez Bryant for Spiller, and he wouldn't do it. So that just shows you that, and I realize that Chris Johnson's not playing anywhere near Chris Johnson, but I thought maybe...
No, I'm trading for Chris Johnson, though. I still believe he'll turn it around. And real quickly, we're under a minute until we got to go to break. So real quickly, give me your play of the week, give me your bust of the week, and your sleeper of the week. Let's see a rapid fire.
Play of the week, Darren Sproles, at home against an average defense. He's 3-for-3 in quality games, 17.13 points per game. Bust of the week, DeSean Jackson. This is where he falls apart. He's playing away against an average defense, only averages 8.8 points per game, and he's 2-of-7, 29% QSR. Sleeper flex player of the week, Malcolm Floyd, 2-for-2 in quality games, playing Atlanta at home.
Yeah, he's looked really good, actually. I'm very surprised to see. All right, Bob, please hang out. When we come back next segment, Michael Rathburn will be back. We'll start off with Mike Neese in the Fantasy Stock Exchange, and we will get to our favorite thing, the interrogation game, where we help you with your lineup. Feel free to email or call 888-346-9144. Matt Musical Styling is taking us out to the break.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Are you looking for the ultimate trail to hike? Maybe you're looking to do the ultimate backpacking adventure. Whether you're a day hiker or an all-out backpacker, be sure to tune in to Backpacking America's Trails with host Rob Maureen. We'll explore some of the most fascinating places on Earth. In addition, we'll talk about backpacking gear, including reviews, safety tips, and more. Our experts will share recipes, destinations, and skills to make backpacking the most enjoyable experience for you. Listen every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
There's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
the shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
The one part about being in the heartland up in Wisconsin is I ordered a cheeseburger with a fresh cheddar. Oh, was that cheese good. And then I'm driving to the airport from Lake Geneva, and I see the cows just chilling on the side of the road in their pasture. It's great. You know the cheese is just so fresh. Mike Neese in the break was telling us a story how he actually was there. What happened, Mike? Your daughter got lost there, and all the Playboy bunnies found her for you?
She got... back about 30 years ago, my daughter got lost when she was about 3, and four Playboy bunnies hugging her up like a son of a gun. So it's,
yeah, and I'm sure your wife believed that story that you lost your daughter.
how do you get mugged by Playboy bunnies?
I don't know, but I'm going to keep trying. All right, switching from sex back to sports, let's go with a money angle. The Fantasy Stock Exchange, you can find it every week in the FantasyInsights.com weekly report. Mike Neese, buy and sell alerts. Mike, this week, who's going up? Give me a QB, a running back, a receiver, tight end, quarterback. Who's on the way up?
Sam Bradford. He's got 4 touchdown passes. That's only 2 short of his 2011 10-game total.
Wow.
Running
who's
back,
going down the quarterback?
DeAndre Brown. He's inexplicably slipped ahead of David Wilson, so he's moving up at the moment. Donnie Avery, top-ranked 2008 wide receiver, finally healthy and producing. And everybody's been mentioning on the show Martellus Bennett, a beneficiary of that Manning-led passing game.
All right, so those are the guys you're buying. Who are the guys you are selling? Who's on the way down?
At the moment, Matt Schaub, through no fault of his own, they don't need a passing game right now. So he's playing game manager. Chris Johnson, some good news this week. He tripled his yards per carry from week 1. The bad news, it only climbed to 1.1 yards.
Yeah, Doc Money is calling him CJ.0016K.
Yeah. Dez Bryant, showing so far that he's better at beating his own mother than opposing defenses.
Ooh.
Ouch.
I know, that was low. And Jermaine Gresham, in the year of the tight end, doing nothing so far. Out of the deep sleepers we talked about at the beginning of the season, one of them perked up a little bit this week. Brandon Wheaton had a good game, so he's progressing, but nowhere near there yet.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, you are definitely the only guy I saw who said Wheaton had potential. So kudos to you, although I think it's more of a reflection on that terrible Cincinnati defense that we thought was going to be so good. All right, we only have a little bit of time left. Thanks for that, Mike. Stay with us. We have Rap. We have Nice. We have Lung. I'm going to ask a couple questions, then we'll get to the interrogation game. Right now, Michael Ashore plays this weekend. Give me one sentence on Michael Ashore and what he can do this weekend. Rath.
Well, he's still going to be in a timeshare. I like the matchup, obviously, of who they're playing this week, but it's still a timeshare, and it's his first game back, so I don't think it's somebody I'm going to plug in unless I'm in a deep league and I've got him at my flex.
Bob Long, what do you think?
I agree. I wouldn't be starting him this week until I see him play one full game.
Nice, how do you feel?
Well, I got my choice between him and Jonathan Stewart on one team, and I'm happy to have him.
Yeah, you got to go with LeSure this week because Stewart's unhealthy. In fact, I don't know if they've announced it, whether Stewart's going to play or not.
I'm in Charlotte. Mike. It's a game-time decision. He's listed as questionable. My guess is he's not going to go.
Yeah, he was likely out the last I heard.
That's what the conventional wisdom says. Okay. Steven Jackson, anybody concerned about his injury? Rath, are you starting Richardson over Steven Jackson this weekend?
No, I'd still go with Steven Jackson. I think he's the veteran, and, you know, they are going to need him this week. I think that a lot of people are writing off the Rams early. Everybody seems to feel like the Bears are going to completely blow this team out. But I think the Rams are going to be able to hang a little bit here, and I think Jackson's going to be motivated to show that he is the guy in St. Louis.
Pierre Thomas or Willis McGahee, are they reliable for consistency, Bob?
Well, not really. Neither one of them are. The problem is that, McGahee can be, but he's inconsistent so far this year. He's 1-for-2. Pierre Thomas is 1-for-2 as well, but a lot of it just depends on how the offense is running there in New Orleans. No, they're not dependable for consistency.
Mike Nice, you're in Chicago. Jay Cutler keeps whining and crying. Usually he comes back strong. Is Alshon Jeffery going to get on the field as a starter and be productive this week, or do we have
I'm not starting him at all on any of my teams. Cutler really dug himself a hole last week. I want to see how he comes out of it.
Okay, I'm definitely not panicking on Julio Jones. Is anybody panicking on Larry Fitzgerald, yes or no? Mike Rathburn.
A little bit, and a lot because of the same thing we talked about with Chris Johnson. This quarterback situation is out of his hands. And he doesn't have chemistry with Kevin Cobb, and we saw that last year. And unless Skelton comes back in, I think you do have to be concerned about Fitz. He's going to get his yards, but he may not have that elite numbers going forward.
Yeah, only one catch last week. All right, right now we're going to get to my favorite thing, which is called the interrogation game. And for those of you who are listening, we want you to know Sunday mornings, Fantasy Insights Final Decisions, where we help you choose your lineup, and this is a lot of the format. We only have 4 minutes till the close, so I'm going to throw out a few names. I'm going to ask, who would you sit? Who would you start of this group? Who would you start? So the first question, the quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, and Andrew Luck. Roethlisberger, Rivers, or Luck? Rath, who's your choice?
We're saying who we'd bench or who we'd start?
Who'd you start? Who's your starter?
Let's see.
Big Ben, Phillip Rivers, or Andrew Luck?
You know what? I'm going Andrew Luck at home against Jacksonville. I like what I saw last week. I think Andrew Luck is the guy.
Bob Long.
Phillip Rivers, 19.96 fantasy points per game, playing at home against an average defense. 6-for-8, 75% consistency. I'll go Phillip Rivers.
Mike Nice.
I like Luck. I like what he's doing so far.
And I am judge and jury, as you know. I'm going with Big Ben, the most underrated quarterback in the league this year. Should have had 35 points week one, had 30-plus week two. He had that pass that was tipped by to Heath Miller off somebody's helmet. All right, on the lower end of quarterbacks in a two-quarterback league, Flacco against the Patriots, Dalton at Washington,
or Peyton Manning. I can't even believe I'm asking that question, but he's playing Houston. Real quick, as we get down here, Rathburn, Manning, Flacco, or Dalton?
I can't believe I'm doing this, but believe it or not, I'm going to go Andy Dalton. I think that Washington defense can be had. I don't like Peyton Manning at all this week. Houston's defense is legit. I think Peyton Manning could be in trouble, so I'm actually going to go Andy Dalton.
Bob Lund?
Joe Flacco going against Tom Brady. He's playing at home. I think he wants to prove he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. This will be the week to prove it. I think there'll be quite a shootout there.
Mike Neese?
I like Dalton. I think he's kind of the sleeper this week. I like his prospects.
I am going to say you guys are victims of fantasy overanalysis. His name is Peyton Manning. He's coming off a terrible performance. I'm going with Manning, and my take on Flacco, torches bad defenses, gets torched by good defenses. All right, we're under 2-minute wire, so one-word answers. Just tell the people who you're starting. At running back, Raph, Frank Gore, Adrian Peterson, or Andre Brown? Gore, Peterson, or Andre Brown? Raph.
Frank Gore.
Lung.
Frank Gore.
Neese.
AP.
And I'm going with Frank Gore at Minnesota. All right. Same situation. Stephen Ridley at Baltimore. Jamal Charles at New Orleans. Or Willis McGahee against Houston. Ridley, Charles, or McGahee? Raph.
Ridley.
Lung.
Ridley.
Neese.
Ridley.
I concur. We're going Ridley. Let's move into the flex spot. Beanie Wells, Donald Brown, or Cedric Benson. Terrible choices all. Beanie Wells, Donald Brown, Cedric Benson. Raph.
You know what? I'm going to go Donald Brown only because I think Indianapolis is going to be able to put up points, and he'll get the opportunity in the red zone.
Lung.
Yeah, I have to go Donald Brown, too. I don't like any other choices.
Neese.
I'm going to go with Benson. I don't think Brown's shown anything yet.
Okay, last one. At receiver, we might be able to get two. One-word answers. Demaryius Thomas, Antonio Brown, or Wes Welker? D. Thomas, Antonio Brown, or Wes Welker? Raph.
Wes Welker. I agree with Bob on Wes's stock right now.
Lung.
Yeah, you know my answer.
Neese.
Brown.
And I am going with Demaryius Thomas. We have time for one more quick one. We'll go to the tight end position, and we're going to say, who is it? Jacob Tammy, Kyle Rudolph, or Owen Daniels? Raph.
Kyle Rudolph.
Lung.
Owen Daniels.
Neese.
Owen Daniels.
And I'm going with Jacob Tammy. All right, that's going to do it for today. You can find Rathburn at the Daily Joust. Bob Lung, is it at Bob L. Roto Experts or at Roto Experts Bob L.?
It's at Roto Experts Bob L.
Okay, and then Mike Neese you can find on FantasyInsights.com. Thanks for being here. Tune in Sunday morning for Final Decisions on Block Talk Radio. And tomorrow afternoon I'll be on the Fantasy Football Power Hour with the Taz. Rath, Lung, thanks for joining us. We'll see y'all next week.
Thanks, guys.
The weekend is coming up, and now you know what's going to make you a better fantasy player. Tune in again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, for more of Fantasy Insights on the Voice America Sports Channel. Don't forget to visit FantasyInsights.com, the best fantasy football site on the net.